Good morning. It's Friday, 23rd of July. We're reading today from Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to read a section from Brother Melva Purkis, A Life of Jesus. We read of Jesus and the disciples leaving the temple and looking at it in its majesty. Brother Purkis writes this: "As the disciples looked up at its commanding beauty, and watched the evening sun gilding its colonnades, they had thoughts that were filled only with awe at its strength and rejoiced in its magnificence. 'Master,' they said, 'see what manner of stones and what buildings are here.' Gently, Jesus led them from the danger of being deceived by the imposing nature of material things. 'Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.' As the evening shadows lengthened, they made their way out to the Mount of Olives. Perplexed and humbled by his answer, they asked him a twofold question: 'Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?'" In what has become known as the Olivet Prophecy, Jesus answered these two questions. In these years, we have naturally made use of it as evidence of the nearness of our Lord's return. Such emphasis may tend to divert us from its more urgent personal message. Jesus set forth conditions attending the end of both the Jewish and the Gentile dispensations. But the greater part of his words is devoted to the hearts and minds of the disciples. For them, it is full of warning and encouragement. Jesus confessed that neither he nor the angels knew the exact time or season of his return. In a sense, it was not an important question. Many children of the kingdom would live and die outside its orbit. Our lives must not be absorbed with speculation, but with preparation. Jesus spoke to the 12 of events shortly to come to pass. They must not be deceived or deterred by false Christs arising amongst them. He spoke of coming turmoil and bloodshed, to be preceded by their own persecution and suffering. They must not waver under trial. It would be a testimony that they were following their Lord. He turned to their second question and told them of the distress which would overtake the whole earth before his return, of the tumultuous roaring of peoples which we have grown to know so well, the eclipse of kings, the frantic strivings of statesmen to find solutions to situations from which there could be no way out. He spoke of the terror of the inhabitants of the earth as they recognised the relentless menace of powers they were unable to control. "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass," he said, raising his eyes above the tensely listening disciples and addressing us over the centuries, "then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And now his discourse turns from the world with its cares and troubles, and Jesus speaks only to his own. He speaks of the dangers lurking in these difficult days for them. They would be days like the days before the flood, when men lived only for themselves and were preoccupied with the cares of this life. "Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." That's the end of the reading from Brother Purkis, but as I read those words, I couldn't help but think of the ongoing turmoil in this world because of the coronavirus, and who knows what is yet in store for us. But we have our faith, so we know the ultimate answer. Thank you for listening to me.